Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday, hour number 2, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. We still don't know. LeBron James was going to play last night, and he didn't play. He was going to play 2 nights ago, and he didn't play, Joy. What's the story on that?
Well, we'll get to it a little bit later in Herdline, but he's it's still in flux. He was going to play last night. They had the banner reveal because they wanted to wait until fans were back. So, the road to back-to-back starts in about a week, so let's get going. That's what LeBron said. So,
all right, because it does depend on if he's ready to go. I think they're a really good basketball team, and a high ankle sprain. I haven't had one. I've had a lot of ankle sprains, not a high ankle. They take forever to heal, and even longer when you're 37, 38.
Well, that's what's worrisome is that they might be back, like everyone's on the court, but how actually healthy are they and ready for a long playoff run?
Yeah, so yesterday was the NFL schedule release, and listen, if you're a good team like Buffalo or Tampa, or Kansas City, you're gonna win a bunch of games. And then there's the bad teams that aren't gonna win any. And then there's those teams that we know are competent. They're absolutely, I'll give you three of them. Miami, the Chargers, and Dallas are all, I think, talented enough to be playoff teams. That's where the schedule can subtract a game or add a game. And I want to talk Miami, Chargers, Cowboys. I all thought they got a little tough break. So let's start with Miami. Brian Flores is trying to tell everybody, Tua is the guy. Even though multiple Dolphin players leaked to the Miami Herald last year, we don't think he's the guy. Ryan Fitzpatrick looked much more athletic. Look at the first 10 weeks of you got Tua, 6 feet tall, not a big arm, not specially mobile. You open at Cam, 6'6", to 6'7", Josh Allen, at Derek Carr, at 6'5", Carson Wentz, at Tom Brady, at Trevor Lawrence, MVP Matt Ryan, at Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. They're a whole bunch of special in there. Big, athletic, great, rings, MVPs. And you're selling that locker room. Well, I mean, Tua doesn't have a big arm. He's not especially mobile, but he is. This is our guy. You can't fool players. There is no schedule in the NFL that has more superstar talented level. I mean, you got six guys: 6'6", 6'5", 6'4", Tom Brady, MVP, Lamar Jackson's the fastest player in the league at his position, Deshaun Watson. It is nothing but special for 10 weeks. In a tougher division now, selling them to who's the guy. I'm just saying, you can try to fool the press, and a lot of times you'll fool the press. You're not going to fool the players. It's not a great break for Miami's schedule. And I like them. The Chargers. I like the Chargers too. A lot of people think they're a underdog, a dark horse Super Bowl team. They have a rookie head coach. Okay, let's go look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In the first 7 weeks, they face Ron Rivera, been to a Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy, been to a Super Bowl. Andy Reid, won a Super Bowl. John Gruden, won a Super Bowl. John Harbaugh, won a Super Bowl. Bill Belichick, won a bunch of them. That is a big ask. Brandon Staley has been in the NFL coaching in total 4 years. In a tough division, he opens with Belichick, Andy Reid, Gruden, McCarthy, Ron Rivera, and John Harbaugh. That ain't a break. that's walking into the octagon and getting, you know, Conor McGregor in his prime. And then look at Dallas's schedule. Fascinating. I've said before, Dallas this year spent all their draft capital on defense, as they should. Next year, it's pretty easy. They're going to spend it on the O-line. It's getting old. O-lines that are old are generally fine in September and October. The question is, are they healthy late? Look at Dallas's last six games. Six good pass rushes. At the Saints, at Washington, at the Giants, Washington, Arizona brought in J.J. Watt with Chandler Jones, Philadelphia. Say what you want about Philadelphia. They were a mess last year. The front seven wasn't. And that is six big boy pass rushes. And again, I don't mind that they open at Tampa and at the Chargers. Those are great pass rushes. But Tyron Smith's going to be healthy. He's going to be upright. I do worry about Dallas end of the year, old offensive line, which they did not really truly address this year. What's that old line look like? Is Dak running for his life? So it's fun. Peter Schrager now joining us live from New York. So a bunch of questions here. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to remain a Packer. I do. Three different players, buddies of his, have all used the same word, fixable, in the last week. Three buddies. James Jones, A.J. Hawk, and the fullback. He came out. All three have come out and used the exact same word. Fixable. Well, they're Aaron's buddies. So I think it's fixable. But let me ask you how the Packers, how did Aaron impact the Packers schedule? Because the NFL, they know what's going on here. They're all sitting there to the last second writing this thing up. How did it affect it?
Well, I spoke with both Mike North and Charlotte Carey, who are part of the team that puts the schedule together. And I said, how'd you handle the Rodgers thing? And the answer was, we're bullish on the Packers as a brand. We're not so worried about Rodgers. If he's there, awesome. We want number 12. If he's not, we'll roll with that uniform and that logo and that stadium and that tradition and that fan base. If you look what the league did with the first four games of the Packers schedule, it was a statement. It was almost as if they're calling Rodgers' bluff and saying, we're with the Packers regardless as a league. They went week one, game of the week, America's game of the week, with Joe and Troy on the call and Aaron on the sidelines against the Saints. Week two, Monday night football. Week three, Sunday night football at San Francisco. And then week four, Pittsburgh, as the CBS doubleheader window game where it's Nance and Romo. So the first four games of the NFL schedule, the Packers have four nationally televised A-crew games. And to maybe hedge their bet a little bit, if you notice that week one game against the Saints, the other game in that window for Fox, Giants-Broncos. So if he's wearing Broncos uniform, well, we might very well see Joe and Troy and Aaron in East Rutherford week one as well.
What went in one of the fun games, Patriots and the Bucs week four? That's a fun game. You got to watch that game. Belichick against Brady. What went into the scheduling, Schrags, of that?
I spoke to them about that too, and they said, look, we've got 256 games. We've got billions of possibilities. Here are the key things they wanted. One, they wanted to make sure all the key people were there. So knock on wood a million times. What if we do this game in week 13 and Brady has an ankle injury or a toenail injury, or there's some team with the Patriots where they're riddled with injuries and their guys aren't out there? Number two, they didn't want the weather to play too much of a factor. You get into November, December with this game, suddenly the story is about a snowstorm or a blizzard or about the fact that a lot of these Patriots fans can't get to the game. You put it week four, it's optimal weather. And the last thing, which they didn't tell me, but which is kind of sneaky here, Brady is 1,100 passing yards behind Drew Brees for the passing record. This is week four. Let's say Brady throws for 250, 300 in the first three games of the season. It is within reason that Brady would break the all-time passing yardage record in Foxborough week four in that building with Belichick watching. They did a pretty good job trying to place this week the perfect one. As for the network, Sunday night, got it. It's going to be Alan Chris on NBC. I can kick and scream. I think that's garbage. I think it should be Buck and Aikman and Aaron and all. I think this is one of those deals where we're all going to get a lot of Patriots. We're all going to get a lot of Buccaneers. In this case, NBC got it.
All right. Easiest, hardest schedule. What did you make of the Cowboys schedule?
I think the league did the Cowboys a lot of favors. Take a look at their first 10 weeks here. We know that week one is going to be Tampa Bay, and that's what's scary. And everyone says, oh, my gosh, what a juggernaut. Their next eight opponents, Colin, on the Cowboys schedule, Chargers missed the playoffs, Eagles missed the playoffs, Panthers missed the playoffs, Giants missed the playoffs, Patriots missed the playoffs, have a bye, Vikings missed the playoffs, Broncos missed the playoffs, Falcons miss the playoffs. If we're entering November and the Cowboys aren't at the top of the NFC East or aren't relevant, that's on them. The league did them no disservice with this schedule. They might lose week one and that's fine. And they're 0-1. Don't panic. They've got 9 straight games against teams that did not make the playoffs to start their season. I would hope to think that Dak and the guys can get a few W's under their belt and the Cowboys are relevant when these weeks and months really matter.
It's really what separates the NFL. They really do think of everything with this schedule. I was even laughing about the Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold. They got them right up top. That game,
week one.
Yeah, week 10, that game could be irrelevant. Week one, I'm interested. Okay, was there another takeaway from the schedule that you had?
There's quirky stuff. So for the first time since 2002, a team plays 5 divisional opponents to end the season in a row. And that team's Washington. Again, the schedule makers, they've got so much going on, but this is very rare. So Washington's final 5 weeks are just NFC East, NFC East, NFC East, NFC East, NFC East.
Wow. I mean,
Cowboys, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles, Cowboys. That is a brutal stretch for a team to then say in week 14, you need to now gear up because you're going and you're doing all this. Now, the Bears have a weird schedule too. If you see the Bears schedule, this is only the third time, I believe, since 2000 that we see a team go away, home, away, home, away, home,
yeah,
away, home,
I saw
away,
that.
Home. It just alternates away. So there's no 2-game road trip for the Bears. There's no 2-game homestand for the Bears. They alternate every single time. And then the last one was I saw the Ravens' final few weeks are like a crazy gauntlet, kind of to adjust with what they had to end the year last year, which was a few softer opponents to end their regular season. The team that does this, and it's Howard Katz, and it's Mike North, and it's Blake Jones, and Charlotte, and Ani Bose, and these guys, they've been doing this for 4 months, Colin. Since the final regular season day, they've been working on this schedule. A lot of teams and a lot of fan bases have their qualms. I think they did a pretty good job. But we'll see if this stuff comes into play as the season starts.
By the way, did you notice the Chargers? We both like the Chargers. Brandon Staley, in the first like 6-7 weeks, has Andy Reid, Belichick, John Harbaugh, Gruden, McCarthy. It's like, welcome to the NFL head coaching. I mean, I look at that and I think Brandon's going to be good, but God, it's just like it's Hall of Fame guys. I mean, McCarthy's the one we all roll our eyes at. He's a
Super Bowl winner. Right? Like McCarthy was. You'd also add in on that if you're looking at that schedule. Week 15, Justin Herbert, prime time, Thursday night football. Who's he against?
Mahomes.
The Chiefs. No favors here. I mean, this is a tough schedule, but look, real quick, I'm bullish on them too. We both are. Herbert's awesome, but Lamar was the MVP year two. Patrick Mahomes was the MVP year two. If you're telling me Herbert's going to make the leap, it is not outside of reason to suggest that the expectation is he's one of the best quarterbacks in football by year two. We shall see. That is not an easy start, and it certainly is not an easy schedule.
Good stuff, buddy. Pete Schrager, I love having him on the show. Good little insight there. The Cowboy stuff I didn't even really notice. Appreciate it, Peter.
Thank you, Colin. You're the best, as always.
You bet. 1 hour from now, Bob Stoop stops by. It is, I did think the power of Aaron Rodgers. So everybody said the Steelers' schedule is brutal, and I want to push back on that. I don't think Pittsburgh's schedule is brutal. I thought Cleveland got a little bit of a scheduling break. I thought Pittsburgh potentially gets a little of a scheduling break. That's coming up.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday, the NASCAR Cup Series is on FS1. Get ready as the best in the business battle it out for 400 miles at the Monster Mile. Catch the green flag action Sunday at 2 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Black Rifle Coffee, veteran-owned coffee company serving premium coffee to people who love America. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/herd. That code HERD, H-E-R-D, gets you 20% off a purchase, your first coffee club order. So, I mean, listen, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is leaving. He's got three of his buddies saying it's fixable. Peter Schrager, interestingly, saying, hey, the NFL's like challenging him, saying, we put the Packers all over our schedule. We're going to put the uniform up if Aaron's not there. I think that's fine for about 3 weeks. I thought New England without Brady was interesting for about 3 to 4 weeks. And then you're like, they're just not that interesting. Listen, the NBA playoffs are not the same without LeBron James. The NBA lost 50% of its ratings when Michael Jordan retired. Golf had events canceled when Tiger Woods got hurt and left. Don't kid yourself. The power of stars. I'll give you an example. The power of Aaron Rodgers. I think he's coming back, but if he didn't, take a look at Pittsburgh's schedule. So the opener's brutal. At Buffalo, they're underdogs. I'm not sure anybody, including Tom Brady and the Bucs, are going to win at Buffalo in week one. That is brutal. Buffalo's really good. But after that, Raiders home, Bengals home, Broncos home, Seahawks home, bye. Cleveland off a bye, Bears at home, Lions at home. And by the way, the Bears are on Monday night, so you get an extra day. Okay, that is a, you take Aaron Rodgers out of week four and you put Jordan Love in there, that is after Buffalo, that is a lot of W's for Pittsburgh. That is a lot of home games, byes, and average quarterbacks. You put Aaron in there, I got Josh Allen on the road, I got Aaron Rodgers on the road, I got Russell Wilson. That's different. But it just look at Pittsburgh's schedule. Take Aaron out, put Jordan Love in. With that defense, by the way. That's the kind of defense that humiliates a young quarterback, and you need an Aaron Rodgers. You need somebody with snaps in the NFL to beat. That front seven is a handful. T.J. Watt, all those pass rushers. So Pittsburgh's schedule, just take Aaron out. That's home games, bye, and can you beat Russell Wilson at home? That is a really... Take a look at Fox's Thursday night schedule. It's very tasty. With Aaron. So with Aaron, I get Stafford against Russell week one. Woo! Christmas special. I get Baker against Aaron Rodgers. Woo! I get Mahomes. I get Justin Herbert. You take Aaron out of that schedule. And now it's Jordan Love against Kyler Murray on the road. Blowout. I got Baker Mayfield. I got where's the other Green Bay game? Oh, Christmas Day game. Baker Mayfield and that Browns pass rush and that Browns offense against Jordan Love. So that Thursday schedule is good. You take Aaron out, it's not as tasty. And by the way, all these Packer fans, yesterday, I just sometimes, you know, when I sit and watch TV for 6 hours, that's when I grab my phone. I'm of the generation, I'd rather not tweet watching games. I grew up where you just watched games and it was okay. You did not feel a responsibility to have to talk to people. But last night for 4 hours, I'm watching all the schedule stuff. And so, you know, I'm watching fans and a lot of people are saying, hey, we're fine without Aaron. Oh, stop it. Go look at Green Bay's schedule. Look at the quarterbacks and the pass rushes from October 24th on. I can go October 17th. It's Khalil Mack, Washington. Then it's at Kyler Murray, at Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford, Lamar Jackson, Baker. Your break is at Detroit and Jared Goff. You're not winning four games in the last 11 if you don't have Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers could get a huge break without him. Fox could be punished without him. Green Bay, the end of that year, that's good quarterbacks or good pass rushes. You got Aaron Donald lined up. You got Seattle's pass rush, which is great. You've got Cleveland's pass rush. So I don't, there is, don't, the NFL can say we're going to challenge you, but don't kid yourself. I've watched sports my entire life change dramatically when the star says exit stage left. It don't kid yourself. It changes everything. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
We're fine without Aaron Rodgers, huh?
Green Bay ain't fine. The league's not fine. We're not fine. I mean, listen, the brand.
I don't know. I like to think I'm like a pretty reasonable person, even about the things that I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
I try to stay measured. I just personally, I don't like to sound ridiculous. You know, just as like a
joy, it changes preference. Fundamentally the franchise. They will be irrelevant in 4 weeks. Like, we'll watch the Jordan Love thing, but if he's back to back, he's bad against the Bears. He's bad. It's over.
Aaron Rodgers is the league MVP. Even if Jordan Love is average,
it will look embarrassing. It will look terrible.
Silliness. So Dak Prescott is returning, which I'm very excited about. Very wealthy man, Dak Prescott. Number 4 on the Forbes wealthiest athletes
list.
That was
crazy.
Very marketable. He's a very likable guy, Dak Prescott.
That's, by the way, that is a huge part of it. Dak is very likable. You know what I mean? He was there by Jerry's side with America. He's had controversy around him. He's always stayed.
He always says the right thing.
Michael Jordan got criticized for that. Michael grew up in a part of the country where there was, you know, you had some political, racial strife. And everybody criticizes Michael for staying away from it. Dak has always been, he's had the Kaepernick stuff. He's had the Anthem stuff. Dak is always like, I'm America's team. I'm the leader. There is value in that. You know,
well, he's also the face of the wealthiest, biggest brand in all of sports on planet Earth. So
Twitter hates when you take the side of corporate America, but sometimes for your brand, that's not bad either.
Yeah, but you know, the thing about Dak is I feel like he has always had that very genuine likability, underdog personality about him.
Yeah.
Who was it that we were talking to a few weeks ago that was talking about Dak Prescott and that they sent that he came in and Dan Mullen was talking about Dak Prescott. And now he just like he came into camp and they were like, go work on this. And he came back and he was better. And then every time he was better and
but
better.
He got crushed for his Anthem stance. But when I saw $107 million in advertising, I'm like.
And he was injured last year.
Well, that tells you advertisers think he is.
He's very relatable.
Very relatable. Yeah. He's safe. You get
and it's genuine. It's not like outside of who he is. Well, they face the Bucks on Thursday night. Week one, and Dak is excited for the opportunity. He said after the schedule release, I'm excited to get back on the field. This game means more than the opponents and their rings. Obviously, Brady just winning his seventh ring, and they'll be getting them.
I think Dallas is going to be competitive in that game. I really do. It was a 4.5-point spread. I say you watch that thing go to 5.5.
They're favored by 6 now.
Okay, I would absolutely take Dallas in that. That is a folks, week one, you just don't know. The Jags beat the Colts last year. You don't know in week one. You have no idea.
I mean, I would tend to lean that the Bucks would look better than the Cowboys simply because they're returning everyone from last year. So generally in week one, we don't know because there's a lot of turnover on everyone's roster. But the Bucks are returning all 22 starters. So that's the only reason why I think that the line is what it is, because the Cowboys are getting Dak back, obviously. It's his first game back from the injury. They have a lot of new pieces. So that part, I think, is what's making the line so big. But, I mean, that would make sense, right? Like, they're going to have a full offseason.
Even average teams don't admit they're average in week one. You know, like a friend of mine, Chad Millman, said yesterday, he said Detroit and San Francisco, the bet is Detroit. They don't know they're terrible yet, and they have a very good offensive line. So, like, in week one, we're like, oh, Dallas is going to get rolled. Remember this. Don't just remember the game against Cleveland when they quit. Remember those games at the end of the year with Andy Dalton that they were winning. And so, by the way, Dak's much more mobile, better.
No, I mean, you get up for week one. I'd be scared to play the Lions week one.
Got nothing to win.
Watch your kneecaps. So NFL has assigned 5 primetime games to the Green Bay Packers for the 2021 season. The Packers were one of 10 teams to receive maximum primetime exposure.
Maximum.
In total, they have 11 primetime and late window games. The final 2 night games against the Bears in week 13 and the Vikings in week 16 on Sunday nights come after flex scheduling kicks in. So if Rodgers doesn't play for the Packers this year, they could get flexed out of those 2 games, but they're going to have a...
I am honestly, and I don't care if I'm wrong. I mean, nobody's going to eat me. I'm 75, 80% sure Aaron's coming back.
I think he's coming back. It's a lot of money on the table to leave for Aaron. I think unless he really has the guts to sit that out.
For which, 3 years?
He would do it for this year because they're probably going to trade him next year. Like, I think that this has all come down to what are we going to do for this year? Because even if with everything that's happened, I just have a hard time seeing him on the roster next year. Maybe if they win the Super Bowl, he wants to stay. But I think that I think it's deteriorated so much that it's just come down to money and like they're both backs against the wall for this year.
Green Bay could fix all of this. Just restructure his contract.
Yeah, but that was an option how long ago?
Well, I'm saying, but just do that and go get Julio Jones. There'll be no complaining. I mean, this is not impossible. Just restructure his deal.
There were a lot of easy solves throughout this whole situation.
Isn't it amazing? Yes. It's amazing how many easy solves there are here.
Don't overthink it. James Harden returned for the Nets last night.
I did not see that.
Didn't look like he was sitting out for the last 5 weeks. He had a pretty stellar performance, and he talked about it after the game.
Not to, like, brag or anything, but I'm like, I'm really good at this game. You know, I study the game. I'm very unselfish. I take the game and I play it the right way every single night. So I don't try to do anything that I can't do or anything that doesn't benefit our team. And if that mindset right there keeps me in a really good place.
That's funny.
He had 18 points and 11 assists in 25 minutes of play.
Wow.
And shot 75% from the field in three-point range.
Wow.
He has missed 20 of the last 21 games. So now, look, James, we all know that you are amazing at basketball.
No, I didn't see 1 second, but those
came
are
off of injury. That's a pretty impressive stat line. You know, put up
his assist numbers, to his credit, and this is where he's really different than Kyrie, is that his assist numbers are great. And Kyrie's a great closer. This is what my knock on Kawhi. He's gotten better at it, but Kawhi and Kyrie, great finishers, not great distributors. James is a great distributor now. He has really worked on that part of his game. I don't know where he is. Does he lead the NBA in assists? He's got to be close.
Well, he talked about it. He said he's very unselfish, and he's studying the game. They are currently second in the East with 2 games left. They have the Bulls and the Cavs, and they're 1.5 games behind the first place Sixers. So if they finish in second, they would face the winner of the Celtics-Hornets play-in game. So that would be pretty good news for them.
Yeah, Celtics do not. By the way, this Boston team is bad.
I've been saying this for years. I'm not a fan of the way that the Celtics have been put together, but I feel like there could be some major changes in Boston next year. But Kyrie was out.
Oh my God!
Last night.
Westbrook leads the NBA in assists. Oh, give me a break. Who's second? Is Harden second?
You know, assists means that they score.
Yeah, I get that.
It's not just like he leads the NBA in passing.
Yeah, I mean, Westbrook has Bradley Beal, of course. Every time you pass to him, he hits a jumper.
I mean, can he not just get some credit for being a good distributor? That's pretty impressive.
Who's second? Trae Young. All these Gunners are getting all these assists.
Well, they're moving around.
Okay. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
By the way,
news.
I want to show you something. It's pretty funny. The Jets and Carolina. So we know this to be true, Joy, is that we always do tomorrow's headlines today, kind of predicting what the headlines will be. But, you know, in big cities like, you know, New York, the headline, they got 5 newspapers, the New York Post, the Times, the Daily News. Very interesting. On the Jets and Carolina. So Sam Darnold goes to the Jets, and they replace him with the next young star, Zach Wilson, and we ship Sam off. Well, the NFL puts them right up against each other week one. Very smart. This game may not mean anything, be marketable at all in week 8, 5, 9. But they have Sam at home. They're favored by 3.5 over Zach Wilson. So let's say they win. Let's say Sam Darnold's got the more experience by a year head coach. Actually, I will say this. Carolina's got some good offensive weapons. Chuba Hubbard, Christian McCaffrey, running backs. So let's say they win it. Well, Carolina then gets Sam Darnold, actually, if they can win that opener. Saints at home, starting a new quarterback. Texans dysfunction. Bad Cowboy defense. Philadelphia's rebuilding. Minnesota's rebuilding. It's a lot of bad defenses. Daniel Jones, a young quarterback. Jalen Hurts, a young quarterback. Atlanta Falcons are rebuilding. Sam Darnold wins that opener. It is 2 months of bad defenses, rebuilding, and young quarterbacks. Zach Wilson. Okay, the new kid. Let's say he loses on the road. Look at his schedule. Look at the defensive coaches he faces. He then faces Belichick, into Vic Fangio, into Mike Vrabel, into a London game, into Belichick, Sean McDermott, Brian Flores. That is a gauntlet of some of the best defensive coaches in the NFL. So just to give you, the headline, we always say the headline will be Darnold darn good is going to be the headline by about week 7 or 8. Sam Darnold, if he can win that home opener against him, he gets a huge scheduling break, rebuilding defenses, young quarterbacks, dysfunctional team. Zach Wilson is some of the best defensive coaches, one after another, with a rookie head coach. So you can see that story by October being like, Jets may have made a little mistake here. Doesn't mean they did, but you can see a story developing. It really plays into Darnold's favor early and does not play into Zach Wilson and the Jets' favor early. Eric Mangini around the corner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, more Sam Darnold love. Carolina's first 11 games, one team with a winning record, the Saints, and they're starting a new quarterback. I'm telling you, Sam Darnold's going to do well. Good things come to those who wait at Jersey Mike's. They also come to those who don't. Download the app, order ahead, skip the line now through May 23rd. Use the code THEHERD. Buck off your order. Three rings, Eric Mangini, Jets Browns, Fox Sports analyst joining us. So it's interesting. I hear this Tampa Bay, 17-0, and I'm like, folks. First of all, it's 17-game schedule. You may have a little load management. Bruce Arians may give some veterans occasional weeks off. I just laugh at the 17-0. You tell me, you were on Patriot teams that people talked about that. Your thoughts on 17-0 in Tampa?
Yeah, look, I was on the last team that repeated, and it's hard. And after we won the first Super Bowl, we had no idea how hard it was going to be the next year. Because dealing with adversity is one thing. Dealing with success is another thing. Everybody plays up to you, and it's relentless. It's week in and week out. And this Bucs team, it's not like they cruised through the season last year.
Right.
They were 3-2 at one point. They were 7-5 before the bye. They got hot at the right time. And to think that they're going to come out the next year with all the expectations, with everybody studying them that much more intensely, and go 17-0, not even 16-0, go 17-0, it's no chance. There's no chance.
By the way, the Patriots, I did think, got a little break. Belichick faces 6 first-time coaches and 6 young quarterbacks. Bill's pretty good against quarterbacks who don't have 20 starts, and he's great against first-time coaches. So I thought, I think Patriots are going to be okay. What's your takeaway on that? You know, the Mac Jones, Cam Newton thing.
Yeah, look, I like their early schedule, especially they've got a second-year quarterback, a rookie quarterback, a new quarterback, and then they go to Tom Brady after that. The interesting thing for me, or the fascinating thing, is Bill's never, ever, in 26 years, had a first-round quarterback. He's never had to deal with this decision-making process, and you're working with Cam, who the offense, from a passing game standpoint, wasn't very good last year, and if they struggle, there's going to be pressure on him to put Mac Jones in. And I know it's Bill, and he's earned the benefit of the doubt, but pressure is pressure, and you can get that from ownership as well. This is the first time he's gone through it, and now you've also got radically different guys. Preparing Cam Newton is so radically different than preparing Mac Jones because of what they can do with their feet. So you've got to have two very distinct plans to do that. I'm really interested to see how Bill handles this.
By the way, I 3 different Aaron Rodgers friends, all 3 different Aaron buddies, have used the word fixable in the last week. Okay, and my takeaway is he's trapped. Where's he going to go? I mean, I don't know. This morning I feel 80-90% Aaron's back. Your thoughts?
I'm 100%. Just like I didn't think Russell Wilson was going anywhere, and I didn't think Deshaun Watson was going anywhere, Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere. Now, he may decide not to play, but that to me would be shocking as well, because it would cost him $50 million between the money he doesn't get and the money that he'd have to pay back. Fixable to me is a lot of money, a lot of new money and security, and it'll be fixed. And he may be a little bit disgruntled, but it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine.
Yeah. Not everybody's happy at work all the time. I'm rare.
You know, everybody.
I'm Mr. Happy.
and look, if you're unhappy and suddenly they decide to give you another $120 million, you know, you could be happier then.
All right, Mr. Cleveland, you're in Cleveland right now. And, opening up with Andy Reid in Kansas City and Mahomes is not exactly a welcome mat in week one. But after that, I looked at the schedule and this is a good football. You know, I do think schedule, you can get good breaks and bad breaks. I'll give you a Browns break. They play Baltimore back to back, but the second one, they play Baltimore, get a bye, and play Baltimore. Pittsburgh, meanwhile, Baltimore faces Cleveland. No bye, they get Pittsburgh back to Cleveland. So I thought that's a little scheduling break, a little bit there for Cleveland. But I look at them and I think to myself, this is a 10, 11, 12 win team to me. Your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I love the first game of the season, especially after the disaster last year, the first game of the season. And things have changed so dramatically. Last year, no OTAs, no preseason games. First year head coach open up with the Ravens. Now all that's changed, and they get to take their temperature against Kansas City in week one. But just like we talked about with Tampa, Colin, the expectations can really put a significant amount of pressure on a team. And the last time the Browns had to deal with any type of expectations, it killed them. It hurt Baker. It every loss was like the end of the world, and it ended poorly. So how they're going to deal with now being a successful team and dealing with a quarterback who's emerging, the staff has been together, there's a lot expected from these guys. And if it goes south a little bit early, how are they going to deal with that adversity? That, to me, is the challenge Cleveland faces.
By the way, when the schedule came out as a coach, what did you look for?
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily matchups as much as it was, are we on the West Coast? We're an East Coast team. Are we on the West Coast? Do we have back-to-back West Coast games? Or are they every other week? Do we want to go out one day early, 2 days early? How many games do we have on Monday night or Thursday night? Because you had to adjust the schedule, for the shortened week or the lengthened week. Games that fell on holidays because you want to do make sure that you were prepared, but you had to account for, the human element and make sure you were addressing that as well. So there was tons of nuts and bolts aspects to it. And if you did have those short weeks, you had to account for some of that in the off season and try to prepare a little bit in advance. And I'm not saying you can get ready for a game late in the season that's on a Thursday in the preseason, but you can put some things in the bank that you can draw on in those short weeks. So it's a long-term, short-term prep type look.
All right. I've said I don't like the way the Raiders are going. You have been very pro Gruden. What did you make of the Raiders schedule?
I think the NFL can control people sometimes. They know some of the issues the teams have, and then they schedule accordingly. Here's another rough end of the season for the Raiders. It's Kansas City. It's the Browns. Denver, we'll have to see where they are, but we know they'll be good defensively. Then the Colts and the Chargers. It's rough. And he's got to get this fixed. He's got to change the narrative of not being able to win late. And you've talked about it. This is, what's this, year four now? It's got to be fixed. Got to be fixed, but it's rough at the end there for him.
Yeah. Good seeing you, Coach. Eric Mangini, thanks for coming on.
All right. Good seeing you, Colin.
Speaking of the Bay Area, I thought the NFC West is obviously very good. The Niners are 2 years removed from a Super Bowl. Everybody gets healthy now. Bo is back. Kittle's back. Bosa's back. Seattle was 12-4. Rams have upgraded at quarterback. They were 10-6. Kyler was 8-8, and we don't even know if he has an NFL coach right now. We don't know if we like the coach. So it's a really good division. And Arizona, by the way, plays Seattle and San Francisco. Tough. For some reason, McVay owns the Cardinals. But Shanahan and Pete Carroll have struggled with Arizona, and they're the fourth-place team. That's the best fourth-place team by a mile in the NFL. But I thought San Francisco got a little bit of a break. They open up with two new head coaches at Detroit and at Philadelphia, two coaches I have no confidence in. It is pretty rough from September 26th to November 15th. That is a rough stretch. Packers, Seahawks home, at Kyler Murray, bye. Colts, Bears is no day off. Arizona Rams. But boy, that division could be, one game could change that division. One game. I thought San Francisco, they get a soft open with new head coaches. It is rough from late September to mid-November. But you go November 21st at Jacksonville on, it is a lot of dysfunction. It is a lot of rebuilds. You got the Houston, you got Atlanta, you got Jacksonville, you got Minnesota, you got the Bengals. I think the Titans step back. So for a division that is that great, that good, that'll probably be decided by a game, you get two newbie head coaches right out of the chute and a lot of rebuilding dysfunction last 7-8 weeks. That's a pretty good schedule. I mean, it was never going to be easy because you got the Seahawks twice and you got the Rams twice and you got Kyler Murray in Arizona twice. But I kind of like San Francisco's schedule. A little soft landing early. Late's not bad either. Hustler Turf Equipment, most complete lineup of residential lawn mowers in America. There is a Hustler dealer near you. Go to hustlerturf.com. Hustlerturf.com. Bob Stoops around the corner.